Good songs this evening, Isaiah chapter number 30. Again tonight, we will read the same passage of Scripture we read this morning. We'll read it the same exact way, Isaiah chapter number 30, verses 1 through 11. I'll read verse number 1 out loud, and you'll follow me on verse number 2. And we'll alternate like that all the way down through verse number 11. Isaiah chapter number 30 this evening, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked it my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and low lion and viper and fiery flying serpent, that they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the paths, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the instruction of God's word. Lord, I think each and every one of us here tonight have been looking forward to the message. Lord, after hearing this morning's message, what an important reminder it is to lead our home with discretion. Lord, how important it is to make sure that we're guiding our children and the next generation to live as closely to the Word of God as possible. Now, our minds are prepared for the truth of tonight, but may our hearts also be. Holy Spirit, please, would you allow your presence to be felt, Lord, in love tonight, even though the truth may be difficult. May we not attack that messenger that is bringing a difficult message for us to receive. May we receive it with a good spirit, with the desire to not just, Lord, fix a problem, Lord, to improve our life, Lord, by our obedience to you, and improve the life of generations to come because of what is preached here tonight. Would you fill our pastor now with your Holy Spirit's power? We'd ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to review quickly. This is part two of a sermon that I preached this morning. I call it, "We Need Adults." We need adults. We live in a very immature, sissified society today. Everything is about and for the children in our world. We cater to the children, and we're so focused on catering to children that we're not teaching anybody to be an adult. Kids grow up and only know how to be a child. Then these adult children are now the leaders in society, and we are being led by adults who think like a child. We need adults. We now have generation after generation of children who are rebellious, who are leading our country like a bunch of little babies. Just go to D.C. and look at the politicians. Look on TV and see how they report the news. And I'm not going to review the whole thing, but let me just hit and miss here. God often refers to Egypt as kind of the center of the world, the lost world, the heathen world. And God tells us that this rebellious people are going to Egypt for their counsel and advice and for their ways and not to God. We kicked God out of America a long time ago. We took him out of our public schools over 50 years ago. And now we wonder why we have such rebellion in America today. By the way, it's not protesting, it's rebellion. And I'm not going there, but we are not supposed to use the world's philosophies and the world's standards by which to judge the word of God and the things of God. Let me ask you a question. Are we going to raise rebels? Are we going to raise children, or are we going to rear adults? Children are important, but children are sinners. Your children are, my children are, my grandchildren will be. And may I say something? Everybody's a sinner. Children, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:4, are corruptors. Wow. Now we have grown-ups who want to have their way, and if they don't get it, they'll throw a tantrum. I have never seen so many adults throw tantrums in my life. They can't control themselves for anything. And in America, and I'm afraid in most churches, we've let everything be about the children for so long that we now have adult children leading in our churches. It is amazing to me how much church is about a child only, and very little emphasis is put on the adults. I'm going to make a statement here. I did this by purpose. Friday morning, I got up. Of course, I was here early. I asked Mrs. Barnes to stop at Dunkin' Donuts on the way in, not for myself, but to get a couple dozen donuts and some coffee for the parents dropping their children off at our school. It was not for the children. It was for the adults. There was leftovers. You say, did you give it to the kids? No. It wasn't for the kids. It was for the adults. You say, why? Because we cater so much to the children, somebody needs to start training adults. We're teaching children to stay children as adults. And we need adults in America. Now, let me say this, and I said this morning. If you use the same formula or you use the same recipe, you're going to get the same result. If we use the world's formula in church, we're going to get the same result as the world. We're supposed to use God's formula, not the world's formula. We're not supposed to use the formula that you knew from your sinful past. We're to use God's formula. Now, I say all that. Let me give you the three things I said this morning. Number one, rebellion is a result or a byproduct. It is not an ingredient. You don't wake up one day rebellious. It's a process. It's a process of bad decisions. It's a process of training. It is a process of living a certain way. And it's a choice. It is a choice, but it's one that we as adults can put into young people. We can start adding those ingredients of rebellion to them by destroying authority, by talking bad and negative about authority, by thinking that they can get away with things, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number two, the rebellious children had a habit of lying. We read in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Wow. It is amazing to me how much we let kids lie and get away with it. Those of you that have graying hair, or it should be because you didn't put coloring in it. I'm not going any farther. Joe, that means when you had hair. All right. But how many of you remember when you lied or you said something you shouldn't say, mom or dad washed your mouth out with a bar of soap. How many of y'all remember that? Yeah. May I say something? That stupid zest in lava soap is nasty in the mouth. Say, how do you know? My brother told me. all right. Children are the Bible says in Isaiah 58, verse number 3, that they come forth from the womb speaking lies. You don't have to teach somebody to lie. They do it naturally. That is the inbred sin of mankind. It's lying. And according to the book of John, chapter 8, that it comes from the devil, who is the father of all lies. Now, so these children are children of, they're rebellious, and they're able to lie, and they get away with it. And we went into that very much this morning. Number three, these rebellious children are lazy. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 7, their strength is to sit still. Oh, my soul, we need to teach children how to work. I'm going to blow a worldly philosophy right out of the water with a nuclear bomb right now. A child's work is not play. Amen. A child's work is school. Amen. A child's work is chores at home.
Right.
From the time they're infants to toddlers, yes, play is a part of them learning. But from the moment my children could walk or grasp things knowingly, my wife and I started teaching our kids, you pick up after yourself. It may be that I sat on the floor with them and put the block in their hand and put their hand over the bucket and made them let go and did everyone that way. But they learned that if they made the mess, they pick it up. Then they get married and let their wife do it. But amen, Ruth Ann. But they were taught right. Now, wait a minute. A child needs to learn how to work. It's not your job. By the way, it's our job to train them. You say, well, I could do it faster myself. Yes, you can, but you're not training them to be an adult. My children will tell you, from the time they were wee little kids, they had to put their clothes in the dirty laundry, and they had to drag it. My wife would take it to the basement. She would drag the kids with them, and she would lift them up with the dirty laundry, and they had to take it out of the basket and put it in the wash machine. Then she'd pick them up, hold them by the feet, let them get in there and get the clean clothes out and put it in the dryer. Or she'd reach in and hand it to them and they'd push it in the dryer. And from the time they were just 3-4 years old, they were doing that. You say, why? They needed to learn there's work involved in having clean clothes. You say, well, I'm glad I didn't grow up in your house. Yes, you are. We need to teach children to work, and their work ought to be their schoolwork. I hate to tell you something, but school is supposed to be hard.
Amen.
We're not supposed to dumb it down so everybody can make it real easy. It's supposed to be hard. Did you know that discipline is part of learning? That's why we don't have anybody learning in our public school system, because there's no discipline. When you were afraid that the teacher was going to take you for a walk in the hallway and you're going to bend over and grab your ankles and they're going to crack you on the backside because you didn't do something right, you had a way of getting your work done. Yeah. I'm not going there. But when we started taking discipline away, we also watched our educational system start dropping. People weren't learning anything. Why is it that when you're in the military, the discipline is so high? Because it's life and death on the knowledge you have. Maybe we need to bring a little of that. I'm not saying get in the face and scream and holler like a drill instructor. But I am saying that the discipline involved in learning to keep your life and the life of your buddy needs to be brought into the classroom so that there's equal, because their life does depend on what they learn. So that leads us to where we are tonight. We are a society that needs to train adults and not old children. We've emphasized children so much that adults don't know how to be adults. They just know how to be a child. They'd rather play their video games. They'd rather go play. They'd rather go do what they want to do than to get responsibilities done. They'd rather spend every penny they have and have nothing left and wonder why they don't have anything left and have everything maxed out and feel the pressure because they don't understand the discipline of a budget. Now, this isn't God's plan. Tonight, I have 28 minutes. How are we letting the world or Egypt influence us and our children to be rebellious? Look at Isaiah chapter 30 again. Look at verse number 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. Notice the statement there. They take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. That's the leader of Egypt. And to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of the Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Now I want everybody to listen to me tonight. Number one, we are letting too many of our children get their advice from the world. Take your Bible to turn back to Psalm 1. Say, preacher, why do you use a lot of scripture verses? So you get mad at God, not me. What God has to say is far more important. And if we realize God said it, maybe we'd start doing it. Psalm 1. Many who have been in church, this is not an unfamiliar passage, but it goes together with Isaiah 30. Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Now watch this. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now watch this. We start getting our advice from the world and getting trained by God-hating, truth-hating people. Be careful letting the world train your children. I'm not afraid to say it. You're almost cutting your nose off and throwing it in your face when you let your kids get advice from the world. That's more than just going to a psychiatrist or somewhere in the world or to lost people. I'm talking about the music that they listen to. Did you know that God coincides music with advice? That includes the music that's on the games they play. The music that's on the movies and the TV shows that they watch. Everybody in here that's an adult, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you listen to good music or bad music your whole life. Maybe you've ever been somewhere at a gas station or a restaurant and the music starts. You think, man, I haven't thought of that song in 20, 30, 40 years. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden you remember every word. What are you training your kids to remember 30 years from now? Well, it's Disney. Yeah, look what they're doing now. Everybody thought I was nuts when I reared my kids and I wouldn't let my kids watch Aladdin, Little Mermaid, and all these other, Hocus Pocus, Mickey Mouse, with the magician, Sorcerer's Apprentice and stuff. I never let my kids watch the things that involved witchcraft. I didn't let my boys watch half-naked Disney characters. Look where we're at today. I had the ability to see what that would lead to and why create desires in my children for the world. I'm not saying everything from Disney is of the stinking devil. But I will say this, we're seeing where it's headed right now. We seem to think that our kids need all the world has to offer. I'm going to make somebody mad, I'm sure. Show me in the Bible where it says that kids have to play sports so much. We've turned sports into a god. I love sports. But what happened to moms and dads playing with brothers and sisters and everybody else in the neighborhood getting together and playing a game, pickup game? Well, they won't learn everything. They'll learn enough. They don't need some lost coach cussing at them. They don't need to be. I grew up playing baseball. I grew up when they were still using steel cleats. I have scars on my leg to prove it. I remember one coach teaching me how to spear when I slid into second base stealing bases. Say, what's spearing? That's coming in with your feet up so that you hit the guy in the face or the arm and cut him so that he dropped the ball. As a child, I was taught how to be mean in order to get ahead. How to be aggressive. Now, some of that aggression isn't bad, but may I say something? Show me in the Bible where it says, blessed is the man that knows how to play baseball, football, volleyball, or basketball. We have let sports become a god, and I'm here to say it. I don't care who the principal is. I know who the leader of the church is, and it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before sports overtakes our school. I know kids in sports, in Christian schools, that have 3 and 4 games a week. That ain't happening. Say why? They need family time. They need church time. To have a balanced life, if you take a child's life and divide it in 3 sections, home, church, and school, all 3 need to be in equal proportions. Here's the problem. Most people at home don't want to take the time, so they push it off on the church or the school. Don't get mad at me. You pick up a glove, you pick up a football, and teach your kids how to play. Since when is that somebody else's responsibility? Well, I don't know how to do it. Case in point, learn. What happened to families playing ball in the backyard? My dad worked a lot, but my dad was a part-time assistant coach on a lot of our baseball teams. My dad taught us how to throw a ball, how to catch a ball, how to take one in the face. I played third base. My dad, when he'd hit fielding practice, we played in the backyard. It wasn't smooth. Man, I'd take a one hopper right in the chin, Brother Mike. You know what he'd say? Get up, rub dirt on it, throw it back here, let's do it again. And my mama, he'd say, shut up. Do it again. Man, I can't tell you how many times. It wasn't him being mean. But the mommies didn't run out on the field when the little junior fell down in the dirt. Oh, I hurt myself. Coach was saying, get up! And Mr. Gaylord, I'll never forget Mr. Gaylord. That was you remember Mr. Edwards on Little House on the Prairie? You know, the big grizzly bear looking guy? Mr. Edwards made Mr. Gaylord look like a model, let me tell you. Mr. Gaylord, he drove a 1970s California style Volkswagen bus. You know, those little red, ugly things. Had a water chew like this. And if you made an error in practice, he chased you around the ball field. You did a lap. And if you didn't run fast enough, he chased you. But I still remember him. He was one of the best coaches I ever had. He said, was he nice? No, I was scared death of him. You didn't want him yelling at you because he got all that tobacco juice in your face. He had about 6 teeth in his head. The rest were rotted away from tobacco juice, and the other 6 were getting there. You didn't want to get chewed out by him because you're going to get chewed. like looking at the wrong end of the cow when it coughs. You go, here it comes. You city folk don't know what I'm talking about. When you hear that thing in the field go, you don't want to be behind it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Make sure it's the front end of the cow only when they're coughing, all right? Did I say that nice enough? Amen. Since when do we have to have all the things the world has to offer to get people away from God? I'm not saying that it's sinful for people to play sports, but we have turned sports into a god in America. Look how much these professional athletes make. And it's okay for them to kneel at the national anthem. God forbid. I don't watch pro sports anymore. I don't. I gave it up a few years ago. I'm done with it. Bunch of spoiled brats. We need to provide the things that our children need at home. I'm just going to read what I wrote down a few weeks ago here. Let's not set our standards or desires based on the Egypt of the world or our past. This is adding sin to sin. I wonder how many children are involved in sports because their dads wanted to be living their childhood all over again. Now you got parents getting in fights at ball games and pushing people and pushing their kids. There ought not be such a thing as a traveling ball team in the summer. Amen. Football practice for high school doesn't need to be two-a-days in high school. May I just say here, we've let sports become a god. I think sports are an important tool that could be used. Yes, I do. I love the fact that, Brother Josh, that we built a little four-square thing out here by the shed out here. The kids are out there. They're learning to play. They're learning to work together as teams and work as individuals. And there's a lot of things that are going on. Miss Kathy brought in some games tonight. Pickup sticks. Shoot, there's people who don't even know what that is. How many of you remember the old monkeys in the barrel game, you know? Yeah, I love them things. She brought some of them in. I'm going to go down to school and play this week. Since everybody thinks that's work, I'll go work. Amen. We've let our kids get counsel from the lost, and we want our kids to go get what the world has, but have it done at the church so that it's Christian. Number two, we use Egypt training with disciplining our kids. Hold on. We trained them not to obey authority. If you do that one more time. If you do that another time. If you do that one more time. I'm only going to give you three chances. Folks, my dad only spoke once. He acted on the second one. Amen. And you better be moving by the end of the first one, or the second one was going to be an act somewhere you didn't want it acted upon. When you start tearing down authority, as I said this morning, when you start making statements like those teachers don't know what they're talking about, you better be careful. First of all, remember the first point of this morning's sermon, all children are liars. They're not going to tell you everything in true fashion. Maybe you ought to ask the teacher what really happened and not assume you know what happened because little junior or juniorette told you what happened. I had a way of coloring things, so I didn't get in as much trouble, didn't you? But I found out my dad and mom did the research, and it didn't work out as the way I planned. When you start saying, well, that school just doesn't know what they're talking about, maybe you ought to be careful. When you start saying, I don't agree with the preacher about this, in front of your kids, I don't agree with your mother about this. Ooh, that's a good way to help yourself. Or I don't agree with your dad about this. Careful. I work with a lot of situations where there's divorce and children are part-time at one family, part-time at another. I was helping someone this week, and I said, the one parent had made a decision, and by the way, I think a foolish decision. I said, there's a way to blame that parent without blaming the parent. Just say, that's what your father decided. You go see him about that. He has to take care of that. That's not my area. I said, that's you saying his fault without saying it's his fault. I said, but don't you say, but while you're with me, we can do this. I said, then you've just used one against the other and you're wrong. But when it's asked of you and you're for it, you do it. And when they say, how come I can't do it with the other parent? Don't know, you'll have to ask them. That was their decision. You know, there's a way to do it without being mean and nasty and without casting doubt into the minds of your children. We give kids too many chances with that, which is actually a pattern of disobedience. You might think, Brother Josh, or this in our Christian school, that we're a little quick to pull the trigger. No, we just don't let them get into a pattern of disobedience. Because once you start down a pattern of disobedience, there's no way justly to apply it. Justice requires every time same action. Everybody doing all right? We don't want to put harshness to discipline. It amazes me how adults don't want to put harshness to adult children. Well, I might not see my grandkids again. If they're going to be that childish, have at it. I'm not perfect. No nail prints. I love my son, my daughter-in-law, and their children. I don't step into their home and tell them how to run their family. We went over to their house yesterday. Let mom and dad get a couple hour break. Say why? They need it. Got to play with the grandkids. We got to be the heroes. They got to get away and have some peace and quiet together. We all won. Had time in my life. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't one time say, I think you're doing this wrong. Those are his kids, not mine. I get to spoil them and give them back. Where'd you learn that, Grandpa? Now, wait a minute. Maybe we ought to put the harshness where it belongs. Well, I don't want my adult child who has children to be mad at me. Too late. We don't ask God or the Bible what God thinks. We trust what professionals say. Isaiah 30 verse 2. They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. You'd be surprised how much asking the preacher, asking the assistant pastor or school principal or school teachers their advice on your kids, rather than basing it off what you know from your past that most of you even forgot the reality of what it was. Everybody doing all right? Getting a little tough in here. Number three. We trust what we know over what God knows. Look at verse number 11. Get you out of the way. Turn aside, out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despised this word, and trust in the oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. God says, go ahead, be perverted, trust yourself, trust your own knowledge, but let me tell you something, it's going to be like a wall that's going to eventually crash down on top of you, and you're not going to know when it's coming. And when that wall falls, It's going to be ugly. This brings oppression. The word oppressed, it means limitation. Do you know that if you only rear your kids by your knowledge, they can't be better than you? Come here for a second, son. This is not only my assistant pastor, but he's my son. I hope to God, with all my heart, Brother Andy, I hope to God he does more for God than I do. I'm not in a competition. I'd love for you, son, to see more people saved, more lives changed, and God use you greater than God's used me. I wonder how many of you would feel comfortable saying that. He knows I mean it. Thank you. I've seen God do an awful lot. I'd love for God to use my kids more than he's used me. I would. I'd love for God to use my grandkids more than he's used me. Go for it. I don't feel threatened by that. I don't care if they make more money than I make. When I die, that money is not going anywhere but somebody else's bank account. The money is not the issue. Popularity, fame is not the issue. How much God used us is the issue. We refuse help and advice. Maybe we need to humble ourselves and get advice. I called a pastor this week to get advice, Brother Mike. Say why? I have a situation coming and I needed advice. So I called somebody I trust in that area. Say why? I needed to confirm the direction I was going with something was either right or wrong. I didn't ask leading questions. When they gave me their advice, they said, Brother Bush, you already know this though, don't you? I said, I do, but I didn't want to ask in such a way to where I led you down the path of where I am. I want to know what's right. And I just needed to confirm it. Can I tell you something? I haven't gotten to the point in life where I don't need advice all the time. We refuse to accept that our way may not be the only way or the best way. Did you know just because it's the way you do it doesn't mean it's the only way to do it and it's not the only right way? Amen. Did you know I could probably drive 5 different ways to get to your house? None of them is the wrong way. Now, you'll drive only one way. But it doesn't mean that's the only way. Well, it's the closest way. It may be to you. I have a couple different ways I go to and from the church. Some of it's dependent on weather. Van Cleesville Road is nasty when it's icy out. There's a hill outside my subdivision. I can go out that way, but coming back, no way. I go back up Shawkey and around the backside, and it's all flat. Say why? Because a whole lot easier. I'm not going to play that. People don't know how to drive on snow and ice around here. Dumber than a box of rocks. They want to crawl up a hill that's like this at 10 miles an hour. And they wonder why. They go into the ditch. You got to start back here and get you a load of steam going up that thing. So I sit back here and wait and let everybody honk behind me, but I'm going to make the top of that hill. You see, we need to realize that we are not the source of all truth. The Bible is. Well, that's just not the way. I don't care how you're brought up. That's the way God says it. Number four, and I'll be done. You're really not going to like this one. We defend our children instead of leadership. You want to be like the world? Keep defending your kids. Did you know that leadership is going to be right 99 times out of 100? If you got a 99 on every test in school, you'd be at the top of your class. Some of you didn't even ever see a 99%. Did you know that if you side with leadership, 99% of the time, you're going to be right? That 1% where you would not be, I'd rather be wrong 1% of the time than wrong 99% of the time. When my kids were in schools, I'd get a call. They'd get a demerit. And of course, my child never did do what the demerit said when I talked to my kids. Never. I remember Josh and Paul Arcola. They got paddled one day and got demerits. They couldn't find them after recess. They were hiding. Yeah. They were looking for deer eyes. Remember that? Deer eyes. About, what are you talking about? There was a buckeye tree out there. They were picking up buckeye nuts. They were collecting deer eyes. They got so engrossed they didn't know everybody else was in class. They had security guards looking for them. They're up underneath the shrubs. They're digging. I mean, they got this big thing of buckeye nuts. Oh, did they get paddled? They got demerits for it. He said, "But Dad, did you do it? Well, did you do it? Yes. Then good. Next time, listen to the teacher." Well, I didn't hear him. You weren't paying attention. You weren't even supposed to be in that part of the playground. You were on the neighbor's property. But Paul, I don't care about Paul. I care about you. Everybody doing all right? Now, wait a minute. I defended the leadership. He got paddled the first week of school when he went to Indiana. I remember. I got a call from the principal. He said, "I got to paddle Josh." I said, "Good. What'd he do?" He told me. I said, Doc, how'd it go? He said, "Oh, he's sitting in my chair, kicking his feet like nothing going on." And he said, "Son, do you know where you're at?" "Yes, sir. I'm in the principal's office." "That's okay. My daddy was my principal, and I've been in his office lots of times." 6 years old. I said, "Doc, what'd you say?" He said, "I stood up, put my hands on my desk like that, and said, 'But I'm not your daddy.'" I said, "What was the answer on that one?" He said, "Oh." He found out what them yellow chairs were for out in the office, amen? Them's the beating chairs. You say, "Did you get mad at the principal?" No, I thank God for him. He probably got demerits he didn't deserve in his life. Not many. But he probably should have got 3 times the demerits that he didn't get. So the one he got that he shouldn't have got, I wonder how many times he should have got demerits that he didn't get them. It made up for it, don't worry. Isn't that the way it is in life? We ought not be defending our kids, let's defend leadership. Here's what my children heard. "You obviously live so close to the line, you looked guilty. Stay away from the line of guilt. You're obviously doing something, making leadership think you're guilty. Change your behavior." Parents need to back each other. If a kid says, "Mom said I could," check with mom and make sure mom said that. "Well, Dad said I could," check with dad. We destroy our own leadership as we're negative and critical to other leaders. I'm going to say something that's not common in our culture. Children don't need an advocate. They need somebody to be just. They don't need an advocate. They don't need somebody to side with them. My dad sided with me many times. He hit my backside. That was the side he knew best. At least I thought he did for a while. Now, I didn't get paddled a whole lot. I was smarter than that. I had an older brother. I watched what he went through and said, "We better not bend there. I'm going to do that." That doesn't look like it's very fun. Let's not do that. How can you be for your child when you're against justice? Well, I love my child. No, if you don't love truth, then you don't love your child, and you're defending them in their wrong. You have to love them by loving the justice, not just loving them as the person. There's times my children did not understand my stand, but as they became adults, they said, "Dad, thank you." They've had to learn to work with people that weren't always easy to work with. Shut up. I'm not talking about your current employer either. Wait a minute. I knew what was coming. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you have to learn to work with people that aren't always on the same page. Let your children learn how to go through that as children, to train them to be adults, not just to be a child the rest of their life. I've got to quit. I want our children, our grandchildren, to grow up to be adults who have character, who aren't afraid to work, who will tell the truth. It's going to take mental and spiritual toughness on the part of adults. We need to resolve to do it God's way and not our way. It doesn't give you the right to correct somebody else's child that's not under your leadership. The worst thing you can do is, "Bless God, I wish that was my kid. They wouldn't sit down for a week." Guess what? If you knew the whole story, maybe you wouldn't. Before you spend all your energy on that, how about you take care of your own house? Let's not worry about it. Let's be just. How about we resolve as families to not rear a rebellious generation? How about we decide we're going to do it God's way, whether we like it or not? Let's not go to the world, for our advice and our ways. Let's go to God. Let's do it His way. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. It's been a powerful truth. It's been about the children today on purpose. It was part of our 4 weeks. Had this ready for weeks. I wonder, has God worked in your heart? Has God worked in your heart?